Now let's get to the report from David Dolan in the Middle East. David, a lot of things to talk about. Let me start with this. There was cross-the-border fire coming from Syria into Israel. And the people in the Israeli Defense Force are saying that was not a stray firing. They were really focused on trying to fire into Israel. Now, I know the Israeli Defense Force is somewhat masked there at the northern border with Syria. They've been doing exercises. Is this developing into something that we need to keep a close eye on?
Well, Jimmy, it's been really a situation that we've been watching very carefully because the Syrian regime has been forecast by many experts to lash out at Israel if it feels that it's losing the battle with the Sunni rebel forces. This isn't the first time. This has happened about six or seven times. However, as you mentioned, this is one of the first times that they believe it was deliberately directed at Israeli targets. Why? Well, that's the question, and some are saying maybe it's a warning to Israel not to further intervene or not to carry out any more attacks against Syrian weapons convoys. That's happened several times, traveling into Lebanon, trying to get those weapons out of Syria. It may also be that Assad is just trying to divert attention from his own problems amongst his people a little bit by trying to, bring in Israel again. However, the Israelis are fully prepared. Defense forces are on full alert. If there is any major Syrian attack, there would be a massive Israeli response, I believe, an overwhelming one, simply because they would want to say to Syria, don't do this again. We're not going to stand for this. Of course, Jimmy, this all comes amid new reports of another chemical weapons attack in Syria. Rebel groups, opposition groups reporting that they found the remains of several people who were recently, they said, killed by chemical agents. This hasn't been confirmed by any other source. But if it is the case, it shows that even in the face of international pressure and the vow of the Assad regime to give up its chemical weapons, that it's still willing to deploy them, at least in a limited form. This isn't anything like the attack in May that reportedly left over 1,400 dead. This is just a few people, but nevertheless, those weapons are banned, and it could bring up the possibility again of some sort of military intervention from the West if it proves to be the case.
Well, the situation in Syria has not gone away. Does not look like it's going to go away in the very near future, does it, David?
No, well, it's the regime is gaining ground again, mainly because of Hezbollah help and Iranian Revolutionary Guards on the ground help. They've retaken in recent weeks several key towns, one of which, Jimmy, is right along the main road from Damascus to the Alawite area of Syria. That, of course, is the Muslim sect that President Assad and his family and most of his cabinet and government and most military leaders as well belong to, just about 15% of the people, but they run the show. And this town had been captured by the rebels, and it was cutting off supplies between Damascus and the Alawite region in the northwest. So they've retaken that. They've taken more ground south of Damascus in recent weeks. So they're on the rebound. This is of concern, of course, to the Sunni states like Saudi Arabia and others that have called upon Assad to resign. All this comes, Jimmy, as Hezbollah has accused Saudi Arabia of being behind the bomb blast near the Iranian embassy in Beirut last month that killed several dozen people. So the Shiite-Sunni rift continuing to grow with grave implications for the region.
Situation in Syria has been somewhat on the back burner as we've been focused on Geneva the last couple of weeks and the negotiations going on between the P5 plus one and the Iranians. They wanted to have the right to enrich the uranium that could put them in a position to have a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. And all of those negotiations ended up with the Iranians basically getting the approval of the world to do that exactly, to develop a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, i.e. that's what two intelligence chiefs are talking about. They were formerly in their positions, one from the United States, one from Israel, saying that President Obama actually gave permission and allowed Iran to go nuclear. What's the latest on that?
Well, that is how most Israeli officials view it, Jimmy, that certainly that's how the Iranians view it. We had Ayatollah Khamenei and President Rouhani and other senior officials say that this accord signaled to them or gave them the the world's approval for continuing to enrich uranium. Now, John Kerry says that isn't the case, that in future negotiations at the end of the six-month interim period, which hasn't started, by the way, officially, that they will be asked at the next round to halt all uranium enrichment. Well, the Israelis and others are saying, why wasn't that part of the initial deal? Once you set the precedent of allowing them to continue to enrich uranium, albeit in this case only up to 3%, supposedly actually 5%, it means you can that much more quickly enrich it to 20 and then beyond that to weapons-grade materials. So the Israelis certainly aren't satisfied with that or with John Kerry's answer on that. There's ongoing talks between the White House and the Netanyahu government about all of this. We don't know what's happening. An important development, though, Jimmy, was the announcement that a major U.S.-Israeli joint military exercise will take place at the end of the six-month period, whenever that is, sometime late next summer, probably. The Israelis actually leaked that information, and one unnamed senior military official said it was designed to send a strong message to Iran that the U.S. still stands with Israel if there is any sort of further nuclear development. But in the meantime, the Israelis feel constrained, feel like they now could not go against Iran without a major international upheaval, without appearing to be slapping President Obama, especially in the face by doing so. But Netanyahu repeated this week that if Israel's survival is at stake, if he believes, in other words, that they are either on the threshold, which they're near the threshold, or have developed a bomb, he'll order a military strike, whatever the political consequences in the world are.
And to add to that, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, is in Jerusalem. He's there to talk about the agreement with the Iranians to try to brief Netanyahu, the prime minister, as to what is the case in reality, but also to assure the Israeli people that their safety, their security is their first goal as it relates to the United States in this negotiating. But he's also there to talk about the peace plan, which does not seem to be on track. Howbeit, I get a signal it is back on track. What's going on?
The reports are that he's brought with him some new proposals. We don't know what those are because the talks have been going on nearly half a year now. They've gone nowhere. I didn't expect they would, as we've talked about many times, and very few analysts who follow it closely did. They were at the point of breaking down recently, Mahmoud Abbas threatening to pull his Palestinian team out of the negotiations. So Kerry had to come up with something. But the immediate reaction, unofficial it was, but was that the Palestinians were not satisfied with the new proposals, and we haven't heard how the Israelis feel about them. So he carries on with this, but again, the Israelis are far more focused on Iran, the situation in Syria, the situation in Egypt. We had a Salafi terrorist killed earlier this month in Hebron. That's a Al-Qaeda-linked group, so they're now stepping up their operations. We have growing rifts between religious and secular Jews in Israel with rioting in Jerusalem this week when an ultra-Orthodox Jew was inducted into the army and refused to serve. These are all issues of much greater concern to the Israeli government at present than the Palestinians. And anyway, Kerry is still there trying to get these off the ground. But is all I can say is he has his work cut out for him.
What's going on in the Negev? Now, the Negev is the desert. That would be south of Jerusalem, down towards Eilat. And I've only got about maybe 15 seconds on this one, David. Sorry, but there seems to be an uproar with the Bedouins out there.
Well, that's another problem. Yes, Bedouins have become more radicalized in recent years, and terror groups have started operating amongst them. So that's another pressing problem that Israel's dealing with at present.
When we go to the Middle East, we go there to talk with David Dolan. He's a journalist, longtime journalist, over 35 years in that region of the world, and he can read the headlines and almost without reading anything else give you the details because he's so accustomed to all that's happening. He knows many of the players there, and that gives him the capability to come to these microphones and give us information that we need to know. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. We appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy, and God bless.